Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really in fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing of our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. A very warm welcome to Islamic Upbringing. This is your host, Zainab. In this program, we try to answer your questions and queries you have regarding the Islamic upbringing of your children. The answers are based upon the Noble Quran and the narrations from Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him and his purified family. Today in our studio, we have had the pleasure to be with Professor Salman Nakavi, who is an Islamic scholar and a faculty member at the Al-Mustafa University, Qom, Iran. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
A very warm welcome, sir.
Thank you.
Well, Professor, when we were very young, we had entered our teenage, and we would often see the pictures and force our parents to get the dresses that we would see in the new picture, new serial. And I still remember names of one of the dresses, which was called as Sharara dress. And that was one of the very famous dresses of that time. And we would imitate dressing from films, serials, no matter if it was indecent, immoral, or whatever. But is that correct according to the Islamic teachings?
Yes, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, thank you very much. Basically, again, we need to understand some of the principles behind the dress code in Islam. Basically, it all boils down to one thing, and that's human dignity. Whether it's talking about people, whether it's speaking, whether it's any sort of behavior, and whether it's dressing. Dressing should be in harmony with our dignity. Human beings, as human beings, have dignity. Their dressing reflects that dignity. It should reflect that dignity. It should be in such a way that people, number one, it's modest. Number two, it's not in such a way that people start pointing fingers at you and say, or maybe start making fun of you.
Okay.
For example, if you, or something which is pointing fingers means maybe they're not pointing. It's something against the norm. Against the norm. For example, if you are dressing in a way which is it's typical or peculiar to some place or some special setting. For example, when you're going to the swimming pool, you're not going to wear clothes and go and dive into the swimming pool.
Right.
So you need to dress properly for the swimming pool.
Right.
So, but if you start swimming and go, start jumping into the swimming pool with your clothes on, people are going to point fingers at you, or they're going to mock you or laugh at you.
Right.
So this is against human dignity.
Right.
So basically,
so every proper setting has a particular environment you're in?
Yes. Sometimes you go to certain programs and gatherings, and they even write down the dress code, that please observe this dress code. Now, I'm not saying that all the time it's correct. Maybe sometimes it's very, you know, you go to a place, it's a place for the elite of the society, and they say, oh, the dress code is that you need to come up with a tie. You need to be suited and booted, and you need to put a necktie, otherwise you're not going to be allowed inside.
Right.
So, I mean, I just want to bring out this thing that for every setting and for every gathering, there's a certain dress code which has to be observed. Now, this specific example that I'm saying, we won't accept that because it's against our norms as a Muslim. It's for the westernized elite. It's
right.
For those who feel they need to imitate the West.
Right.
They become more important by becoming westernized.
Right.
They can show off. They can demonstrate.
Right. Well, on that note, I have a very important question for you, but I'll ask you that after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned.
This is Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Contact us at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is Islamic Upbringing. We have Professor Salman Naqvi with us. And here, Professor, you said that when we imitate the Westerners or anyone else in dress code as teens or as adolescents, what we have in mind is that we want ourselves to be picked up from the crowd. We want to be the center of attraction. And that really is not recommended for the girl teens. Islam really does not recommend that. And what do you say about that?
No, it's not only for the girls, it's for the boys also. Nowadays you find boys in tight jeans and there's, it's a fashion nowadays that they should be torn at the knees or thighs. It should be cut open and show off some of their body parts. So this has become a fashion.
Immodest.
Even boys. So this is something which is imitating. It's something immodest. It's not. It's attracting others' attention. And if it's for the sake of attracting the attention of others, whether boys or girls, both of them, they're not allowed to do so.
Really?
So this is what our children should understand, that we need to, the most important things is dignity, human dignity, modesty, dignity, and covering those parts. Of course, the covering for girls may be more than for the boys, but even for the boys, the covering has to be such that it does not cause the opposite gender to be attracted towards the boys.
Right.
So both ways it goes, both ways. You need to be in such a way that you don't attract the attention of especially the opposite sex.
Right.
And does not...
Well, attracting the attention, another thing is coming into my mind. Whenever there's a marriage in India, whenever there's marriage in our region especially, we as adolescents over there probably would join at when they would see what parents have got for them, the dresses. They would often say, if it was more modest, they would often say that, that way nobody is going to look at me. Mom, you really don't think about me. You really don't like me because you have got me a dress that nobody is going to look at me in the marriage hall, so we have such kind of explanations from the teens even today.
So they need to be, they want them to feel respected and appreciated, so it shows that they're not being appreciated enough in their homes. Their appreciation is not there, so they're looking for appreciation from outside. And now it's become a fashion, unfortunately, that you need to show off your best dresses in such gatherings. Again, it's not something which it may be prohibited, especially if we maintain the boundaries and there are curtains and there's segregation between the men and the ladies' section. They're segregated. Then it's okay to wear nice clothes. Good clothes, show. I mean, it's a time for rejoicing, it's a time for making merry. or even if it's a milad, for example, in the remembrance of the imams, even then it's okay. But still, you should remember that there are many people even in that gathering who cannot afford something like that.
Can't afford, exactly.
You may be able to afford that, but the other person can't. And the amount of money you're spending on your dress,
maybe that person is not able to spend even on studies.
So we need to, you know, balance between things.
Exactly. We'll discuss more after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned.
The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, "Honor your children and teach them good manners."
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is Islamic Upbringing. We are with Professor Salman Akavi, and we are discussing the etiquettes of dress code that should be taught to teenagers. We talked about girls a lot. Now, coming to boys, you said that they put on the jeans which are torn off at different places, kind of showing off. That's also not good. Even boys should not be showing off their body parts, because sometimes boys think, like, since they are boys, now they can do anything they want.
So, of course, they can't, and it's not even allowed to imitate the West, or even you can't imitate. I mean, for example, some of our religious scholars and religious authorities, they even prohibit wearing the tie, because once upon a time, this tie was some sort of, you know, a symbol for the Christians or non-believers. So, but now it's become maybe a normal practice within the convention, even within the
formal settings.
Formal settings, but still, it is considered to be again maybe a symbol of the westernized elite. So again, we should refrain from that. Imitating others, and even imitating the opposite sex, wearing, children, okay, maybe children, small, very small children, maybe, you know, maybe
it could
exceptions.
Be okay in them.
But elderly girls and boys, they're not supposed to wear clothes which the opposite sex wears. A boy cannot wear girls' clothes.
Jeans, that's particular for
exactly.
girls.
So you're not allowed to even imitate the opposite sex.
All right.
Maybe there are certain forms of dressings which are common for both. That's
right.
Okay. So imitating the opposite sex, imitating the kuffar, imitating others just to show off, this is not going on. This is not allowed. You need to be maintain your dignity, your honor, your respect. Because we as Muslims have a special dress code. It has been there in our societies since centuries. And again, unfortunately, even this westernized type of nudity or partial nudity is, again, it's not something which has been, it's not been common through the centuries. It's come about in the past century or so. Otherwise, even the dress code in the westernized women, especially nowadays, even many, many cultures, Hindus.
This kind of partial nudity is worse than the entire
exactly.
nudity.
So it's a capitalist, especially the capitalism which has been introduced into society by the Zionists.
Right. Exactly. And I would talk about myself. I personally loved this concept of the entire, which is called, which we call as the hijab-i bartar over here, which we called as the best of the hijabs, the chador to be covered completely. I was inspired by Lady Zahra, salam alayha, especially the part when she says to Lady when Lady Fatima Zahra, salam alayha, says to Lady Fizza construct a coffin for me, because I don't want anyone to be seeing me when I die. So I have a few lines about that. I dedicate this to all teen girls listening to us, all the mothers listening to us. Oh, Fizza, construct me a coffin when I die. No eyes should see me when I die. Bury me in darkness, for I feel shy. I forgot this. You forgot it too. It's time to cry, but we only clarify. Let's live like Betul, let's die like Betul. Teach this to your daughters from preschool. Let not arrogance make us fool. You copy this, I copy this. I'm a woman, a jewel, not a tool. Until another session, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Do you know?